Morning, church. So good to be with you this morning. What a blessing and an honor it is to come and bring the Word of God. Are you excited to dig into God's Word this morning? You don't sound it. Are you excited to get into God's Word this morning? All right. We're in Nehemiah. We're continuing our series. Before we do that real quick, I want to hit on something that happened yesterday. Yosmar said that if I start preaching in Spanish, this is the reason why. So, buenos dias. So we were at Sulam's quinceañera last night, and he forced me to take a picture with the roasted pig. It was very, very warm in that room, and then take a picture with the knife. I don't know why. But it was absolutely beautiful, wonderful celebration. So Yosmar is not here this morning. They're celebrating, continuing to celebrate Sulam and her quinceañera as well as with the family. So we celebrate with them in that journey. But as we dig in this morning, we are continuing the series of Nehemiah. And we're in chapter 2. Last week, Yosmar highlighted the importance of prayer and fasting. And this week, we see Nehemiah arrive in Jerusalem and face opposition. So, how many of you have heard, how many of you have heard of rucking? Rucking. All right, ruck, right? A few of you, okay? Not many. Now, this is completely new to me, okay? A few of you have heard it, but our new director of finance, David Foy, actually does this on a regular basis. He has a group of guys that come out and they do this on Saturday mornings. And essentially, they had a ruck this past Saturday where 29 participated in a 9-mile heart warrior ruck, where they raised money from just some donations from the participants in St. John, $1,020 for the American Heart Association and for the Children's Heart Institute. Yes. So it's pretty awesome. But if you don't know what rucking is or to ruck, basically it combines walking with weight training by walking with a backpack full of weight. So just like these ones, you've got 30, 40, 50 pounds, whatever, in the backpack. You put it on and you walk and hike with that on. And what the purpose of that is to create a greater resistance and opposition training to increase both cardiovascular and strength training exercises. And while opposition and resistance forces an individual, their muscle groups, their heart, to work harder, to push through, to persevere, to grow, and to strengthen, that doesn't mean that it's easy, that it's enjoyable all the time, or that even that it can be accomplished. It can be easy to give up. When we experience opposition or resistance in our lives, whether it's through a workout, work environment, social lives, or even in our spiritual life. When you begin to live out God's vision for your life, you can expect to experience resistance and opposition. The question is, how will we respond? Before we look into that, using Nehemiah as our example, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, we thank you, and we praise you for this morning, for the opportunity to be in your word. God, I pray that it be your word spoken, not mine. Help us to hear, to allow your word to infiltrate our hearts, to renew us from the inside out, and to transform us. We pray this all in your son's holy name. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 18, we see God plants a vision for Nehemiah, and opposition follows. And then godly leadership requires both careful planning and resistant faith. If you're able, if you'll stand for the reading of God's word this morning, and Yosmar let me in on a little joke from last week. So he had planned to read the just as you guys stand there to read it. But then you guys started reading, and he's like, I love that. So now you guys have forced yourself to do that every week. So, but instead of having to read the whole passage, there will be one section that is underlined. I'll have you read that with me, okay? So I'll read the first bit and the last bit, and I'll have you read the middle section with me. So this is Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 18. So I went to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, and I and a few men with me. And I told no one what God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me but the one on which I rode. I went out by night by the valley gate to the dragon spring and to the dung gate. And I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the valley and inspected the wall, and turned back and entered by the valley gate, and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, and I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest who were to do the work. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us arise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they jeered at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Then I replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper, and we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem. The word of God for the people of God. You can have a seat. God is planting a vision here at St. John Community Church. And so we know, just like Nehemiah and many others throughout Christian history, we too will face resistance and opposition. Nehemiah started with prayer and fasting. And I don't want to gloss over, because that's where Yosmar started last week, how important that process is. That we start with prayer and fasting to hear from the Lord what his vision for St. John Community Church really is. After that, when they got to Jerusalem, Nehemiah was strategic in planning. We find this in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. He didn't just rush into the work. He waited. He thought. And he planned a strategic approach. Nehemiah conducted a night survey to assess damage. In order to not draw attention, he only selected a few trusted men to go with him. Nehemiah gathered firsthand information before sharing the vision with the people. He had been told by others about the wall, but he took time to experience and understand the scale of the devastation before him. This helped him to create a realistic understanding of the challenge that lay before him and built credibility with the Israelites, since he knew what he was talking about. This was all done before Nehemiah even shared the vision with the people. How often do we lack strategic planning, thoughtful and prayerful discernment Are we willing to wait on God's timing, or are we so eager that we rush into whatever is next, either in our personal life, our spiritual life, or our church life? You and I may not have competed or completed a ruck, but have done other sporting events, 5Ks, physical activities. And while, yes, it's possible to complete these without training, most of the time, that will not go well for you. I remember running a 5K cold turkey with my best friend when I was in high school. And I think back, I was in high school, I was in fairly good shape, and I was dead at the end of it. Don't recommend that at all, and definitely wouldn't recommend that now in my 30s. Planning and training is an essential part of a successful vision. If you want to complete a 5K under 30 minutes, you set milestones, you plan workouts, and you train hard to complete this vision. So how can we emulate Nehemiah's planning in our own spiritual journeys, in the life of our church, in the vision of making a difference for Christ, or our mission, making disciples by following Christ, offering hope, serving others, and loving everyone of St. John Community Church? Nehemiah's planning didn't prevent opposition or resistance, but it helps prepare him for it. The second thing that we see is that Nehemiah faced early opposition. The opposition didn't come after he had already started. It didn't come halfway through. It didn't come at the end. It came really early on. We see this in Nehemiah 2:19. And Nehemiah experienced opposition from political, social, economic fronts. Even with God's vision, the king's authority, the people's support, Nehemiah still experienced a staunch opposition, resistance, and slander. As we continue on in Nehemiah in the coming weeks, we will even see that with Nehemiah's godly response, it did not deter the opposition. Instead, it spurred them on. So who opposed Nehemiah? And what could they represent for us? First, we have Sanballat the Horonite, who can represent the world in our lives. And I want to go back real quick. I've got to go back a bunch of slides because I put it in the wrong spot. But I want to look at the map, give you an idea of these areas. Because for me, maps are hugely important when I'm reading scripture. They give me such an insight. I'm a visual person. Just like I shared with you guys a couple of times ago when I preached, like I'm more of a movie guy than I am a book guy because I can see it. So you have Sanballat the Horonite to the north of Jerusalem for a fairly large section. Then you have Tobiah the Ammonite to the east over there in Ammon. And then you have Geshem the Arab, as we talk about him, to the south, and a very large region in the Egypt and Beersheba area, right? And so when we talk about surrounded and on all fronts, you can see there's not anything to the west. There's water. So it really is a surrounding of Nehemiah. And so when he experiences this resistance and opposition and attack, you can see why it could be very overwhelming for Nehemiah and for the Israelites trying to rebuild the wall. So we have Sanballat the Horonite. He was the chief enemy of Nehemiah. And the reason for this becomes clear when we examine his name. Sanballat was not a Jewish name, it was a Babylonian name that meant the moon god, Sin has given life. It's a great name. And look at the contrast between his name and Nehemiah's. Nehemiah means the Lord comforts. More than likely, his ancestors were among the foreign people who were resettled in Samaria by the Assyrians when the Jewish people were taken to exile in other places. Archaeologists tell us that he was the governor of Samaria to the north of Jerusalem. Sanballat can represent the world in our lives. These are people who live according to worldly principles and mindsets. They don't walk by faith, rather they walk by sight. They are what the Bible refers to as the natural man. They don't understand the things of God, the Spirit of God. They consider them foolishness. And every church has a few Sanballats. They can't see what God is doing. I'm sure you may even have some Sanballats in your own life, whether in a spiritual sense or in a natural sense. You share with them what God is showing you, how God is working in you, how God is transforming you, and they look at you like you are crazy. You share with them your passions or your dreams or what you're going to accomplish, and they look at you like you're crazy. We recently went to Dollywood to, I went to Dollywood to surprise my parents when they were down there, and we went and we were watching the Dolly Parton show, and she had gotten up at a graduation, whether eighth grade or high school or something like that, and the question was, what are you going to do? And she's like, I'm going to be a star, and everybody laughed. She's a star, right? They can't see it. They only discourage you. So Sanballat is a discourager of Nehemiah. The second opponent we see is Tobiah the Ammonite. And unlike Sanballat, Tobiah was not an outsider. He was an insider. The name Tobiah is Hebrew. It means Yahweh is good. It's a good name. But even though his name is Hebraic, Nehemiah describes him not as a Hebrew or Jewish, but as an Ammonite. See, Tobiah came from a family of very powerful Jewish aristocrats. Even though he was Jewish by nationality, he was not one of them. He was the governor of Ammon to the east of Jerusalem. Tobiah can represent the flesh in our lives. It's part of us, but it can also be our worst enemy. Every church has a few Tobiahs who are saved by grace of God, but still live according to the flesh. All you have to do is bump against them just a little bit, and the flesh comes pouring out with all the anger, bitterness, resentment, envy, and the rest. I'm sure some of you have experienced Tobiahs in your own life or have them in your life right now. Or even possibly it's your own flesh, your own temptations, your own natural desires that are in conflict with God's desire and God's will and God's vision for your life. It has become your worst enemy. It's an insider, but it's working against you. Opponent number three is Geshem the Arab, who can represent the devil or his minions in our lives. And an inscription with that name was found in northwestern Arabia. It described Geshem as the governor of Dedan. Another inscription found in Egypt described him as the king of Kedar. Dedan and Kedar occupied the eastern desert a region of Syria, northern Arabia, Sinai, and northern Egypt. That being the case, Geshem must have been a very powerful ruler who was afraid that Nehemiah's coming would interfere with his lucrative trade of myrrh and frankincense. So Geshem is attacking from an economic front for Nehemiah. Also represents or can represent the devil or his minion. He wants to bring disunity and division to Nehemiah and his work, to the body of Christ and to the church. There's a Geshem working in your life. Their purpose is to destroy your life, your marriage, your family, your connection with God, your desire to follow him. They want to expand their territory, and they work by intimidation and ridicule. So there you have it. The world represented by Sanballat, the flesh represented by Tobiah, and the devil represented by Geshem. They all come at you from different angles. And sometimes they come at you all at the same time. And like we mentioned earlier, it's hard to stay consistent, passionate, and motivated under opposition and resistance. When I put this backpack on, the first thing my body yells at me is, "This is heavy, take it off." Anything you do, anytime you do anything that is worth doing, there will be opposition. There will be resistance. This isn't just about a ruck, but about our own spiritual lives. There are people in this room who have abandoned their dreams, have given up their goals because of some opposition in their lives. Maybe you have given up on education. Maybe you've given up pursuing a job. Maybe you've given up starting a family, buying a home, getting physically healthy, or getting spiritually healthy. Because maybe we've given up on the church because of hurt. Maybe we've given up being consistent in God's word. Maybe we've given up spending time with God, praying and fasting, and seeking his will and vision for our lives. Maybe we've given up talking about our faith with others because we've gotten ridiculed. St. Augustine said, "The magnitude of the vision God gives is often measured by the opposition it attracts." I'll say that again. "The magnitude of the vision God gives is often measured by the opposition it attracts." What we need to realize is that opposition and resistance and ridicule is part of the process. Opposition isn't an excuse to quit, but rather an opportunity to see just how big God's vision really is. Are you excited to see how big God's vision can be here at St. John Community Church? So what did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah responded to the opposition. In verse 20, we see Nehemiah didn't stop, stutter, or flinch, but rather chose to look towards God and his promises. He submitted to the Lord instead of men, and he renewed his commitment and distanced himself from his opposition. We see that in Nehemiah 2, verse 20. In chapter 3, Nehemiah continues the work of building the wall during opposition from all sides. With his planning, the scale of the task at hand, Nehemiah knew he could not accomplish this task alone. And so the Israelites split up to accomplish different tasks around the city, from building walls to laying beams and bars, to setting bolts and doors, to to help accomplish the vision of a restored wall of Jerusalem. And so this backpack represents the burden of the call, of the vision. Nehemiah carried the responsibility of rebuilding a broken city. Leadership, calling, or obedience to God often comes with a weight. If you're a parent, a leader, a mentor, or someone stepping out in obedience, you know what this feels like. So this is the vision. God has clearly laid it out for Nehemiah. Let's think about this paper as a representation of the vision. Colin, will you come up? In verse 12, Nehemiah says, God had put into my heart to rebuild the wall. God clearly laid it out for Nehemiah to rebuild the wall. It wasn't Nehemiah's plan. It wasn't Nehemiah's vision. It wasn't Nehemiah who said, I can do this. But rather, God had put it in my heart, and God was going to be the one who created the success of it. When God gives you a burden or a vision, you'll likely feel both excited and a little bit fearful. Because God's vision is often too big for us to accomplish. It's only with God that it can be accomplished. So here's the reality. Vision always attracts resistance. Sanballat and Tobiah show up immediately to mock and question the work that Nehemiah was doing. So, Colin here, who's a fantastic youth leader, is going to represent Sanballat and Tobiah. Go ahead and pull on that orange. He's going to give me some resistance as I try and go for the vision. You see, not only do I have the weight of the calling, but the resistance, but will I continue in the midst of all that to strive against everything that's pulling me away from what God wants me to do and to accomplish what he has desired for me? Thank you. This is where Nehemiah shines. Not because he avoids resistance, but because he knows who has authorized the work. The God of the heavens will grant us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. Verse 20. Nehemiah didn't let mockery, doubt, or delay, ridicule, opposition, resistance stop the work. He kept walking into the weight of the call, even while resistance pulled at him. God's call may feel heavy. The opposition may feel strong, but when you know who gave the call, you keep walking. Even if you're carrying a 30-pound backpack. What has God placed on your heart to rebuild, to restore, or to lead? Where are you feeling the strongest resistance? Are you walking forward, or do you feel stuck in discouragement? What would it look like for you to say, like Nehemiah, I will start rebuilding? The presence of opposition is often the confirmation that you're doing something eternally important. So don't retreat. Don't defend yourself unnecessarily. Do what Nehemiah did. Prayed and fasted, prepared, and pressed forward. Look to the one who's given you the call, because God's call is worth the resistance. Nehemiah had prayed and fasted before the Lord, and God had granted him the opportunity, the honor, to fulfill the vision of restoring the wall of Jerusalem. And so our application very quickly comes from what he did next. Number one, we need to personally and corporately plan carefully. I believe both individually and as St. John Community Church, we need to proactively anticipate challenges by creating thoughtful plans that reflect our mission and our values. We need to prioritize maintaining unity through every situation while carefully documenting lessons learned to guide our future ministry decisions. Two, we need to personally and corporately handle opposition. I believe we both individually and as St. John Community Church need to choose to stand firmly on God's vision, refusing to compromise with influences that oppose his purpose for us. We invite each person to courageously evaluate who or what might be holding you back and take a stand for unity, for truth, and the mission that God has placed before us. And three, we need to personally and corporately build teams to accomplish the vision that God has set before us. I believe both individually and as St. John Community Church, we are not called to do this alone. As Yosmar stated last week, you by yourself are not the church. The church is a body of believers coming together. So who are you walking with in life? Who is praying with you? Who is studying the Word of God with you? Who is evangelizing with you? As a church, we need each person, each unique gift, every single talent that is being brought as a part of the body of Christ to make a difference for Christ by making disciples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to hear from your word, to see how Nehemiah, in the midst of opposition from every side, every angle, every aspect of life, he chose to stand firm and say, we will rebuild. God will bring the success. God, may that be true in our own lives. Spiritually, individually, may we go and pursue you wholeheartedly, bringing others along with us. And then corporately as a church, may we have a passion and a desire to pray and to fast, to see your will, to see your vision for St. John Community Church, to, in the midst of opposition, press forward to accomplish together what you have set before us. We pray all of this in your Son's holy and mighty name. Amen.
Let's stand together and worship, church.
Thank you.
If you all have a seat real quick, we have a couple of things that I want to highlight that are really, really important before we leave this morning. First is recognizing our graduates on this graduate Sunday. So out in the front lobby, you probably saw a table out there. We have five graduates, four from high school, one from college. So I'm going to invite them up. If you're in here, I know we have a few out this morning, but if you're here, come on up. We're going to pray over you. We're not going to have you say anything or whatever, but come on up. So Colin, come on up. Kirsten, come on up. Anybody else here? Koa, come on up. Josh Ingram here this morning. Josh Ingram. And then I know Matthew Merrick is out. Okay. So we have Koa, Colin, Kirsten, and then Matthew Merrick and Josh Ingram, who are graduating. Colin is our college graduate. So we just want to recognize their accomplishment. We have a gift and stuff out there for you guys on the table. Feel free to take those as you go today. But will you just reach out your hands as we pray over them and their next steps and what God is going to do? God is working big and mighty things in the lives of each and every person, and so we want to see what God has in store for them next. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray over each and every one of these graduates, whether it's the next step to college, to the workforce, or to some other plan that you have for them. We pray your blessing, your safety, your comfort, your guide, your wisdom over each and every one of them, that they may seek you with all of their heart, their mind, their soul, their strength, and they would see your will and vision implemented and lived out in their lives, that they would see you at work in a mighty way, not just in their own lives, but in the lives of the people around them. Now we ask that you would continue to give them discernment as they make decisions, give them peace about what is going on in the next steps of their lives, and that they would know and they would trust you with everything that they have, everything that they are, so that they would know that you are God. We pray this all in your Son's holy and mighty name. As a body of believers, we all say, amen. Thank you, guys. Give them a round of applause. You can have a seat. You have a seat. Second thing that we want to do is finish up today's service with our covenant partners. So just a reminder, every week we're having covenant partners join St. John Community Church. Super excited that. We have five who signed up last week to join this week. If you're interested in joining St. John Community Church next week, we're going to ask you that you just see the person at the Welcome Center after service and put your name down, and we'll get you signed up to become a covenant partner next week. So if you signed up last week, if you would come up, we're going to have them join going through the process of their commitment, baptism, and setting of their Ebenezer stone. So the Fowlers, Corey's, Linda, Morgan, and we had one more that may be out. Diane, remember your baptism, that you belong to Jesus, that he loves you, that he has a mission and a vision for your life. Pray this in your Son's holy name. Amen. Take a rock, pray your name on it, pray, and then set it in the cross in the lobby. Lewis, remember your baptism, that you belong to Jesus, that he has a mission and a vision for your life. Pray this all in the Son's holy name. Amen. Rock, name, pray, and the cross. Linda, remember your baptism and be blessed, that you belong to Jesus, that he has a mission and a vision for your life. Pray this all in the Son's holy name. Amen.